Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitchOS.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 14th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Are you a database engineer? We want to meet you. We have a part-time position that might be actually full-time in 2024. Go to our site right now. It is a complicated position, but you're looking for a really good, experienced person who wants to get into the baseball field and really knows their way around Postgres and a lot of other things. But if you are that person, we really want to meet you because I think we have a very fun opportunity for you here. Brandon Williamson was my lead for the SB Roundup, 5.2 innings, 100 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. This was really nice. Second straight start of seeing that changeup come alive. 5 over 18 whiffs and 44% CSW. He did well against the Pirates here. Unfortunately, he gets the Jays next. So I think the four-seamer cutter combo is fine. It's possible that those are good enough with that changeup against the Jays. I think that's too risky for me. And I would leave him on the wire, but then maybe come back after that. So Williamson is not a lock for that. Well, you don't need to hold past this one at the moment. He's not really being so electric that I think it's worth your time. Freddy Peralta, though, is insane right now, and you just got to keep holding on to him. Same with Sonny Gray. You have Logan Webb that got removed with one out left to go in his complete game shutout, and I hate it so much. He allowed a double with two outs in the bottom of the ninth and top of the ninth, I guess, with a 1-0 lead, and they pulled him at 107 pitches. And I know that sounds crazy. Nick, come on, 107 pitches. He just allowed the double. There you go. What do you know? The reliever blew it. And it's just give him the opportunity. Webb got you there shut out for 26 outs. Come on. Let him get out of it. It's his game. I hate this. I hate this so much. It would drive me insane if I was pulled at 8.2 innings there with it on. Like, sure, you allowed one mistake. Let me get a chance to get out of that. You know, I hate it so much. Logan Webb, great stuff against the Rangers, though. Hyunjin Ryu against the Cubs, 5 innings, 0 runs. It's fine. 4 base runners, 3 Ks. It's okay. Four-seamer at 38% CSW, got a lot of outs. It was really everything here. The changeup did get some outs, too, but that should be more so. That really should be more of a big thing, and the curveball was kind of shelved a little bit. Not really quite there with Hyunjin Ryu right now as he gets the Orioles next, but hey, against the Cubs, you survived. I mean, it's not bad. I think he's going to be a Toby the rest of the way. Chase Silseth against the Astros survived. 5 innings, 0 runs, got the win. 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. This is great. I don't know if I really buy it. The splitter had 12 whiffs in the last one. It was 2 out of 18 here. It was good down, though. It did get outs. He did get about 67% strikes, which is really good. Sliders got strikes as well, but just 1 for 27 whiffs. So it wasn't the ceiling that we saw from Silseth before. I don't like that he gets the Rangers next. I feel as if those balls in play are not going to necessarily go his way, and then it's really bad. He didn't also have that overwhelming electric 22 whiffs I think he had him last time. It was just 6 here, and that to me is a little worse. The Angels are skipping Ohtani this week, which means that Silseth does get that start as Kenning does return. And we'll kind of see him in a week if he even goes past this Rangers start, but I feel like the Angels got to keep starting Silseth. He's just doing good. Dane Dunning did insane things. 23 whiffs for a Gallows pole. 39% CSW, 7 innings of 12 Ks against the Giants. The Giants are not very good. They're actually one of the easiest teams to stream against, especially in Oracle Park right now. But his slide piece is just so good. 12 whiffs over 32 thrown. That has been a huge thing for Dunning as he's leaning to the slider and also the cutter, but more so the slider in this one. And the changeup and sinker also earned 5 whiffs each, which is kind of weird for the sinker. Not so much the changeup. But I really love this, and you got to keep going with him against the Brewers and Twins. As long as he's throwing 32 sliders in a game, like 30% usage, yeah, Dane Dunning should be very much on your rosters. Mitch Keller against the Reds did well here. Huge props to my editor, Felix. I went to bed, and I submitted this article for him, and I just completely did not do Mitch Keller. I thought about it, and then I was like, okay, I'll do that one later when I do Williamson. Then I wrote Williamson, and then I completely forgot to do Keller. He stepped in, did a great job. Everything that he wrote is exactly what I would have said, maybe a little bit more. I added a little bit at the end as for my update. But yeah, great stuff here, Felix. Anyway, Mitch Keller, how should you feel? 7 Ks, 8 base runners, 1 run, 6 innings. This kind of was actually what Mitch Keller was at the beginning of the year, as he threw a lot of pitches over the zone, had good mitigation of hard contact. It's fine, but it's cherry bomb-esque is the thing with Mitch Keller. You don't really know if you can believe this. Also, the Reds on the road in PNC Park is a good situation. So he gets the Twins next. I don't really know if I want to jump into that. He's in the questionable start tier as a cherry bomb. It's up to you at this point. As I'm not really sold that Mitch Keller is going to be all of a sudden going back up the peak now. You have Bryce Miller against the Orioles. Did well for 5.2 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, but just 2 strikeouts as the slider that we saw last time, just not good. And we saw that from Kirby too, where the amazing slider that he had wasn't quite there over the weekend. I mean, amazing game from Kirby. It's just the slider wasn't as good. And Bryce Miller's wasn't the pristine, amazing command he had last time. I mean, it was so good. We knew it really wouldn't stick, but we just wanted it to, and it didn't. Gilbert starts on today, and we'll talk about that in a second, but he still has his slider, I hope. And I hope it's not just kind of like all of the Mariners lose it. But we keep going, of course, with Bryce Miller. And the fact that he got through this one without that slider should tell you some good things. Ken Waldichuk against the Nationals. I streamed him, as I said yesterday in the podcast, and I needed a win and or 5 strikeouts. So get this. 5 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. I was 1 strikeout behind. Thank you, Will Smith, for your 1K in 0.2 innings. I don't care about blowing the save. Like, all I needed was 1 strikeout, and you got me that. And then he was up 7-1. He was up 7-1 when he left this game. And the Nationals scored 6 in the 9th to steal the win away from us. Oh my gosh, if Will Smith didn't go in to get that strikeout, that one sole strikeout, I would have been so upset. Anyway, Waldichuk's sweeper wasn't as good. It just wasn't, and it's unfortunate because Waldichuk was actually showcasing 4-seamers up and sweepers away that actually worked, and or away to lefties, and it just wasn't that. I watched it intently, waiting for all these strikeouts, and he was just, ugh, this was not the guy I wanted. Jose Urquidy against the Angels, much better. Oh my gosh, this was like peak Jose Urquidy. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 7 Ks. The line is good. You're like, oh, only 5 innings? Well, he only has 80 pitches. He'll go 6. Everything was amazing. 4-seamers dotted right at the top for 9 whiffs out of 33. Glove side sweepers, arm side sinkers. You got his changeup and curveball. Working low changeups. Curveballs were inside the zone for strikes. So this is exactly everything we dream of when I talk about kitchen sink Jose Urquidy. I really hope this sticks. I doubt it because this is like as good as you could ever hope. But man, this was, I mean, I will say the other start where he walked a lot of guys, it was this, but just expanded out of the zone. And he did exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to squeeze it in closer to the edges. And that's what he did. Oh, it was beautiful. He gets Seattle next. Like, I have to go for that. Dylan Cease went 54% sliders and it worked. 7 Ks in 7 innings, 200 runs. And 7 base runners. Really nice to see that. I don't think I've ever seen him go 54% sliders, but he should. Cease, your best pitch is the slider. You know, we saw him increase it to 40% usage last year. That was good. Now it's 54% because everything, you know, he's like, what do I do? It wasn't as precise. That is, it was more glove side and over the plate middle than I usually see for Dylan Cease's slider. But it worked. So, all right, I think we keep going with that because I don't really think that he should move away from these like 50% plus sliders. Like, yeah, it's your best pitch. Tanner Bibee, we're going to watch him after this podcast. And we also did a thing on Freddie Tarnock, and I'll talk about that soon. But Tanner Bibee did great against the Rays. And it feels like a Vargas rule to me because I don't really think that anything is so exceptional. 1 out of 40 4-seamer whiffs does not feel right. He got whiffs on high changeups and high sliders, which doesn't feel right. You know, and the balls in play that he got, found gloves, only 23% CSW in this one for Tanner Bibee. I don't know. It feels weird, and I hate when things feel weird. You know, you guys know that. But anyway, you just keep going, Tanner Bibee. Who cares what I think? Ranger Suarez did better in some ways and worse in others against the Twins. 6.1 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 8 Ks. Loss in a 150 whip is not fun, but you got those 8 strikeouts, right? Decent ERA. At times, he really executed the pitch he needed to. That's why he had the 8 strikeouts. So sometimes this changeup and the sinker were some really nice pitches. But then other times he just didn't really have it. And it was really frustrating. So he gets the Giants next, which I think like I'm going to go for because it could be a turning point. Seeing a lot of those really nicely executed pitches to me is like, oh, okay, Ranger Suarez actually has that in the tank still, right? But it's still like a mix at the moment. And hopefully he's taking those steps forward. We have a lot of other guys to talk about, of course, for today and tomorrow's starters as well. And we're going to talk about all of those after this break. And yes, I'll be giving away PL Plus if I do not do an edit in the second half here. This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Gerrit Cole, Aces Gonna Ace, lost the win because the Miami Marlins had a ridiculous comeback in the ninth, and that's just how it is. I know, what a weird day for ninth innings. Kyle Brash was great against the Mariners, six innings of 7 Ks, while the slider got whiffs and the curveball got strikes, and just one ball in play on the four-seamer. That's everything you want from Kyle Bradish, except for a win, which is stupid. Not his fault. Seth Lugo did well against Arizona. I don't think it was his best, but it's fine. You take it all. I mean, good four seamers and curveballs for strikes. Like, this is cool from Seth Lugo. You keep holding on to that. Cutter Crawford needed one more out for me to get a streaming victory, and he didn't do it 4.2 innings. It's so annoying. I don't know why he's throwing high cutters. He can't really do the Cannonball McSanchez, which is those high cutters for called strikes, because you also have your four seamer there. Get that thing down. Really annoying. Also, Garrett Whitlock returned from the IL to pitch in the bullpen. He was throwing 96, but it's out of the bullpen. Right, it's not like 93, 94, which is what we're used to from him. He's throwing 96, but he's airing it out over 24 pitches, okay? I hope that he has that next year when he's in the rotation. He won't get it this year, by the way. He's going to be in a reliever unless something drastic happens for the Red Sox where they desperately need a starter. Julio Urias looked amazing as his changeup earned whiffs and 78% O-swing. It feels so good, and now he gets... Now he could be honestly a top 10 starter if he does look like this. It was nearly a golden goal, 22 whiffs and 47% CSW. Insane. Absolutely insane. 47% CSW across 88 pitches for Julio Urias. Brandon Pfaadt against the Padres. 8 strikeouts. Yeah, I know, buy that. 3 earned runs, 5.2 innings, 9 hits, 2 walks. I think his four-seamer and sweeper just don't blow me away enough. He gets a sweeper for strikes, which is good. The four-seamer just isn't what I want it to be, and I just don't want to lean into Brandon Pfaadt. Kodai Senga, after 3 earned runs in the first against Atlanta, because Atlanta is absurdly good at scoring in the first inning, he didn't allow anything else. And he earned a win here, 7 Ks, 6 base runners against Atlanta. Amazing. Amazing. It's a poor quality start, fine, but that's really cool, and you're just going to keep going. Andre Jackson against the Reds, you don't want to do that whatsoever. Kyle Freeland against the Dodgers, obviously not. Luke Weaver's trying really hard and it's not quite working, and there's some potential here over time, but yeah, we don't want to do that. Never Trevor Williams. Yanni Chirinos, he might not even still be in the rotation because it could be Alan Winans or Michael Soroka in the next time around. And honestly, if I am the Atlanta, I would absolutely do that. Hopefully it's Winans, and keep an eye on both of those guys, because either one, whoever steps in, I think is a good start against the Giants when that does happen. Jameson Taillon, you might have done a Vargas rule here against the Jays, 8 earned runs, 3 innings, and honestly, really bad command here. I think I'm just completely out, even though it's the Royals and Pirates next. It's possible he rebounds, but I feel like he needed that momentum and he doesn't quite have it now. Yuri Perez against the Yankees, 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks, disappointing. 19 whiffs, 32% CSW, 11 over 34 whiffs on the slider. Keep sticking with Yuri Perez, even if the Marlins are going to limit him around 80 pitches per game. I hope he gets an 85-90. Hope they push him a little bit more. We have Eduardo Rodriguez against the Red Sox. 6 earned runs in 5 innings, but 8 strikeouts. He threw a ton of pitches down the middle. He really did. This was just not good precision against the Red Sox. And be happy he got some strikeouts out of it, because this was just not good Eduardo Rodriguez. And lastly, there's Zach Eflin. Just 6 earned runs, 3 innings, 9 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. This was legitimately singled out, and it's so annoying. He did the neckbeard approach, which is everything was down or off the plate, inside or off the plate, outside. Very little actually inside the zone. And he just got demolished for every single pitch that was actually in the zone they hit. Like, what? That just does not happen. And 2 home runs were over the plate. I guess you could say they were mistakes, but they weren't really like hard of the plate or anything. Just a crazy weird start for Eflin, and he's still in a very, very good spot. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. We have a short slate today, of course, on Monday. Tyler Glasnow, Max Scherzer, Max Fried, Framber Valdez, Yu Darvish, Logan Gilbert. You're starting all of them. Yes, it's Gilbert today and Hancock tomorrow. It looks like that. I didn't get absolute confirmation, but it seems like that as of now. I would have both in your lineup, of course. Hopefully Gilbert has that slider again. Oh man, it's been actually a big trend. V on playback.tv slash pitcherlist in the chat really mentioned to me that there has been a higher emphasis for longer than just two starts for Gilbert with that slider, but the slider has been that good, especially lately. And I really like that for Gilbert, but the four seamer is not as good. All Gilbert needs is a four seamer to be the pitch it used to be. He needs to be that 12% swing strike rate pitch, not the 8% it is this year. Man, can you imagine? He will be so good next year, honestly, if the slider like is still there for the rest of the year. I'll be so in on Logan Gilbert. Probable start tier, we have Grayson Rodriguez, Brady Singer, and JP Sears as a stream pick of the day against the Cardinals. PLV loves him. I love that slider. I love that four-seamer. I feel like this is worth your time, even though it is the Athletics. He will get a fair amount of strikeouts. I think the ERA and WHIP will be worth your time as well. Questionable start tier, you have Miles Michaelis. I know it's Oakland, but I just don't think that Miles Michaelis does enough for you. It's fine if you want to do it. I just don't really like it. And Merrill Kelly is in Coors. It's Coors. It's also Merrill Kelly. I understand if you want to go for that. Do not start tier. It's Clark Schmidt, but against Atlanta, no way. Oh, no way. Patrick Sandoval against the Rangers? No. Braxton Garrett against the Astros? No. Chris Flexen's getting an opportunity, but it's the Diamondbacks. Sean Manaea has been better. He's going to have an opener, but it is the Rays. Carlos Carrasco versus Quinn Priester? Absolutely not on either side. Even though it is Carrasco against the Pirates? No, thank you. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We have like no studs. So it's Zach Wheeler at Toronto as the number one. And then Bailey Ober against the Tigers as number two. Actually, normally that is like a probably start for Bailey Ober, but I feel against the Tigers. This should be the Bailey special of six innings of like one earned run and seven Ks and a one whip or something like that. Probable start tier, you can make an argument for both Bobby Miller and Yusei Kikuchi being in that top tier. I just don't think they have that ceiling right now. Bobby Miller does. He had that 11 strikeout game against Atlanta, if you remember, but he really hasn't put it together with that slider and curveball. And I am going to bake in some of that development for him for the next 2 months or so until we really do see some sort of consistent six innings and, you know, 8 strikeout games, essentially, from Bobby Miller as he gets the Brewers. I love it, but, you know, it's not quite top tier. Yusei Kikuchi with those breaking balls over the plate. They're new and improved, and the fastballs have been working against the Phillies. I'm going for that. Jordan Montgomery against the Angels. It's fine. He has a good win chance with the Rangers. Pivetta is a good one against the Nationals because his slider command has been fantastic down and glove side a ton. Emerson Hancock is our stream pick of the day against the Royals. Love this. I really liked what I saw in his debut with his sinker and his cutter and his changeup. I think this is good enough against the Royals. Good win chance as well. Christian Javier against the Marlins. He threw sliders for strikes last time. I feel like this is going to be the start that everyone says, oh my gosh, is Christian Javier back? Because his four-seamer wasn't good last time. That's the abnormality. Normally, the four-seamer is really good. And this is Miami. I'm going for this. Kyle Hendricks against the White Sox, too, because the changeup and sinker command has been great. Questionable start, too. You have Jack Flaherty against the Padres. Velocity was a little bit lower, which is expected after the adrenaline-fueled start against the Jays last time, and then or two starts ago, and last time was a little bit lower. The Padres are also kind of dangerous, so I'm going to likely go for it, but I understand that I might not be wanting to start him. Most of the time, I might just get, you know what, I don't need to do this. Same with Graham Ashcraft, who finally had a cutter I liked last time. And the slider has been good, but the Guardians are one of the better contact teams out there. So that might hurt Ashcraft a good amount here. Zach Little against the Giants is something definitely to consider, as there's a solid win chance here against the Giants. Zach Little's doing good things with the four-seamer. The slider was too high up last time. It should come down. But he'll go at least 5 innings or 6 innings maybe for the Rays. I kind of love this one. Very, very sneaky. You have Lucas Giolito against the Rangers. No, thank you. I understand how it could work. Bryce Elder is a Toby and actually pitched decently well last time out, even though he didn't do well against the Pirates. I think his stuff was better and location was better, and the Yankees are just not that exciting. And Logan Allen maybe does work against the Reds in Cincy, but I really don't want to do that if I don't have to. And do not start tier. I mean, a lot of these here. I actually changed this order multiple times as I did the rankings this morning with Twitch chat. Not Twitch chat, playback.tv chat. Again, playback.tv/pitchlist. I'm here 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single morning. Come hang out. It is the best time. It's 100% free. Josiah Gray Against the Red Sox, no thank you. Josiah Gray's just not that good. Johnny Cueto against the Astros, maybe there's some magic, but no thank you. Dakota Hudson has a chance for a quality start against the Athletics. We've seen it already, but I don't really want to do that. Freddie Tarnak. Okay. I almost didn't even put him at the top of do not start. Freddie Tarnak threw four innings in relief, had an opener of Austin Proof for two innings the previous start. He throws 95 to 96, and Tarnak's four-seamer is 92nd percentile in Y movement. What I'm trying to get at is Tarnak, if he's able to actually go high location, which I think is the big struggle for him right now, if he's actually able to go high lock, you're going to see four-seamer whiffs here. And then he pairs it with a changeup, a slider, and a curve. The changeup has potential. So does the slider. He just needs to get his command and get his feet wet. I just did a video for YouTube on it. It should come out today. Take a look at that one for Freddie Tarnak. But this is exciting stuff in my view. And I'm very curious how he does here against St. Louis. It's an incredibly sneaky one. If you're in a deep league, AL-only league, and Tarnak is out there, this might be the time to do it because he threw 70 pitches last time out. The Athletics look like they're leaning in on giving Tarnak some opportunities. The Cardinals are not that scary. I see like a Taj Bradley here is what I'm getting at. The command is still iffy, but he's super over the top. I think there's something interesting here in Freddie Tarnak. He was also the pride of the Mueller trade to Oakland, the Sean Murphy trade. I remember talking to some scouts. I've mentioned this before. I talked to some scouts in spring training about that trade. Some Atlanta scouts, and they're like, look, I know Kyle Mueller was the main one, but we actually liked Freddie Tarnak most. So I'm curious. I'm just really curious. Okay, Bailey Falter against the Mets. He actually threw decently well against Atlanta last time, and now he gets the Mets, and that could actually come through for you. As he will be able to go at least 80 pitches in this one. David Peterson, maybe 70 pitches against the Pirates. Maybe that comes through. Alex Vaiedo had his slider, and it still wasn't good enough last time, but maybe he has a slider and then hopefully his changeup or fastball against the Twins. Tukey DeSun has shown strikeout potential, but is the Cubs, and I don't really know if it's going to be worthwhile. Michael Wacha is still ill, and he only threw about 50 pitches on August 5th in AAA. Then I imagine he pitched another time after. So I'm going to say like 65 pitches or something like that. Maybe 70 against the Orioles. I don't really want to do that. Jordan Lyles against the Mariners. There's a chance. Same with Adrian Hauser against the Dodgers, but no thanks. Ty Bloch against the Diamondbacks in Coors. No thanks. Tristan Beck against the Rays. No thank you. Slay Sassone against inside of Coors. No way. If you don't even know who he is, that's fine. His stuff is not good enough. And that's still better. Luis Severino against Atlanta, absolutely not. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. I really hope to see you on the live stream. It's so much fun, guys. You get to actually interact with me and know more about me, and I want to know about you. So, yeah, it's a completely different experience where I get to actually hang out with you and talk properly. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.